You're listening to Men's Total Health. Call in now to ask about men's health with Dr. McGuire. From the Walter Center of the North Shore University Health Center.
Welcome to the Men's Total Health Show. My name is David Hochberg. I'm your host. We have Dr. McGuire on line one. Hey. Welcome to the show, Dr. McGuire. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, buddy. This is your first show, our first show. And why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to do a show and why Men's Total Health? Why the name Men's Total Health, buddy?
So urology is the treatment of urinary disease and men's sexual health. And if you listen to the radio at all, you hear all kinds of information about, oh, men's health, and I want to go have sex, you know, how do I get an erection and how do I, you know, maintain an erection and things like that. But this is really missing the big picture. Sex is an important part of life, and I certainly am, as a urologist, discuss this with my patients every day. But it's all about all the things to help you enjoy life and to live a longer and better life. And so I want to go from this and go beyond just how do I get my penis hard. Instead, I want to live a life of how do I feel better? How do I live more healthy? How am I able to enjoy life and do all the things that are important to help people feel better across the board?
Phone lines are open. You have a question for Dr. McGuire, 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Text line also, doctor, for all the listeners out there that has a question, that might have a question for Dr. McGuire, the same number. Text your questions to 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Let's talk briefly, Doc, about the Carroll Center, the Walter Carroll Center. And at Glenbrook Hospital, would you give a little background about how that came to be?
So it's the John and Carol Walter Center for Urological Health. And John and Carol Walter are two wonderfully philanthropic people who have donated money to help us treat people with urologic diseases. And to not treat just their disease, but to treat the whole person. And it's a philosophy that we're really struggling to make sure that people understand that you're not a person, you're not a prostate cancer person, you're not that, you're a person who has prostate cancer. And we're going to treat you like that. We understand the psychological aspects of it, the stress related with that, how it occurs to you, how it impacts on your wife, and that it's important for us to go around and to look at the entire aspect of disease. And that's why we like the concept of Men's Total Health. How do we help take care of all of the patient and to make sure that we're not just focusing on a little aspect of it and missing the big picture?
And you guys are pretty much brand new over there. I live in Northbrook, right down the street, about 5 miles away. And it was, I remember driving by the new facility. It's a brand new addition, brand new hospital that you recently opened up. How long have you been open?
So the Walters made their donation about 2 years ago, and it is part of the facility has been opened and running about 2 to 3 years now. And it's a culmination of years of work, and it's allowed us to hire a bunch of fellowship-trained specialists who are able to really provide state-of-the-art care in specific aspects of their of urology and to expand it. We've hired, we have a sexual health clinic, a stone clinic. We have all kinds of aspects of urology where we're allowed to give you in a beautiful facility, in a beautiful neighborhood, in a clean, careful neighborhood, that you're welcome to come, and that this is truly an experience where we take care of you and help you to achieve what you want to achieve.
You're listening to Dr. Michael McGuire. He is the head urologist at the John and Carol Walter Center at North Shore University Health Systems. So, real quick question, Doc. If somebody's listening, living on the south side of Chicago, let's say Oak Lawn, and they're having urinary problems or having prostate problems or just having some problems that they need to see a urologist. Why would they come to you out in Glenview instead of going to somebody, or why should they come to you out in Glenview instead of seeing somebody locally in their own neighborhood?
Well, there are a lot of great urologists in Chicago. We're blessed to have an overabundance of medical care in this neighborhood, but that a lot of urology is has been practiced based on, well, this is what we've always done, and people have not been up to date. And there are some new opportunities, and these are things that we're going to explore over the next 13 weeks in this show, and that's why we have this show, is to explain to you all the different options that occur. And most of these are the things that we want to highlight are things that are unique to what we do. We are the leading people in the Midwest in people who have prostate cancer that we're not treating. So we're watching men with this. And we understand the anxiety that invokes, but the treatment of prostate cancer often creates a worse situation than the disease itself. And so we are looking at this scientifically. We've got PhDs hired to look at this, to look at your tumor. One of my partners is an MD PhD who is really one of the world's experts on the genetics of prostate cancer. And how do we look at your cancer individually to promote what do we do right for you, as opposed to how do we treat people with prostate cancer? It's how do we fit it in the context of the individual patient? And that's really what is our goal, and that's what changes us compared to other urologists in the city.
All right, so right out of the box, we've covered cancer. We've covered men's total health. Let's take a step back and talk about what is urology. If somebody's out there, if somebody's listening, you know, and talking about, okay, he's the head guy at North Shore, you know, University Health Systems, that's great, but what does a urologist do, and what should people be interested in hearing from a urologist? Why should they go to see one?
So, first of all, you hope you never have to go see a urologist. It's kind of like an IRS agent. There are guys that are around and that you hope you never need one, but when you need one, you need the best one possible, and that's what we're here for. Urology is we're all surgeons. We all work on the surgical aspects of the urinary tract, so that involves kidneys, kidney stones, ureters, bladders, inability to urinate, problems with the prostate, both benign and malignant disease. We also work with men's reproductive system. So if you're having problems with your testicles, if you're having problems with your penis, we are the medical specialists that take care of this. And we all train approximately 5 to 6 years after going to medical school. And then many of us, like myself, did additional 2 years where I trained in urologic cancer at Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City. So we're talking, you know, 8 to 12 years post-college of training to specialize in this field. And what we do in this field is look at people and to try and make their lives better, make them live longer, live better, and to figure out what really is a problem and what isn't related to their urologic organs.
312-521-8600, 312-521-8600, that is the phone line and the text line. If you have a question for Dr. McGuire, he is the head urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. Brand new show called Men's Total Health. Doctor is sitting at the John and Carol Walter Center right now in Glenview, doing the show and ready to answer any and all of your questions. We're talking, Doc, about total health, men's total health. Starts from the toes, goes to the nose, and everywhere in between. What's the most important issue that you see on a daily basis when you're talking to men regarding their health? Is it their weight? Is it their cholesterol? Is it their sugar levels? Is it their stress levels? You know, are they not exercising? Are they not dieting? What's the number one most important issue regarding men's total health?
Well, the correct answer is yes. Everything you said is absolutely correct. And that's exactly the point, is that your body is a complicated system, but it all works together. And we found that one of them is well published in the urologic literature that many men who have present with erectile dysfunction, so you can't get an erection, is actually the presenting symptom of heart disease.
Hold on. A guy can't get an erection. It the number one cause is heart disease?
No, it can be the present.
It can be the
first symptom you have of that you've got heart disease, that you're going to have a heart attack, and it could kill you, can be that you can't get an erection. And this is very common because men don't go to doctors. Men spend many a day at home, and they ignore things, and then they find out the problem. Well, one of our jobs is to make sure if something's bad going on, you present with this. Same thing is we see this with diabetes all the time. People present with diabetes. They've never controlled, never been diagnosed, but they present with erectile problems. So your penis is kind of a measuring stick, excuse the pun, but of your entire body. And so it's the blood flow. To get an erection, your brain has to be in the right mood. So you have to have enough hormones. Then you have to send a message from the nerves, from the brain, down the spinal cord, out to the blood vessels in the penis. Then you have to increase the blood flow into the penis and block the blood flow out. So if you have problems with your hormonal status, then you've got problems which affect you metabolically. And that's the whole thing as far as not getting, as far as being obese, having high blood pressure, having diabetes. If you have problems with nerve disease, we see people all the time that have multiple sclerosis, have had spinal cord injuries, who can't get erections. Then you talk about blood flow issues. Well, blood flow issues, that's coronary artery disease. That's atherosclerosis. And so all these things contribute to your overall health. And so you can, yes, if you say there are people who will give you a shot in the penis, which will give you an erection. Well, that's great. It is goal-directed therapy. But the real question is, why are you having these issues? And are we sure that we're not helping people? I have a specialist here, Dr. Jeffrey Albaugh, who's a PhD in sexual health. Jeff, you will meet him in the upcoming weeks. But Jeff has found that he's got a lot of men who he has helped to lose some weight. And it's not a significant amount of weight loss has led to significant improvement in their quality of erections. So there are opportunities here for men to be very proactive in their own health and to achieve benefits, which more than I'm going to live longer, it's going to help me right now.
All right, let's talk about urinary health. What exactly is urinary health?
So your bladder, so basically the urine tract is your kidneys make urine. And kidneys make urine constantly. And so urine comes down and goes to your bladder. And then your bladder is basically a social organ. You want to have your bladder sit there and hold the urine so that when you're ready to go, you can go. Now, as men get older, and interestingly women too, they get older, the bladder is supposed to be this nice pliable rubber band. You stretch it, and as you stretch it, it gets nice until it gets full, and then the rubber band says it's time to go, and that's when you go to the bathroom. Well, in older people, and particularly older men, we see people all the time whose rubber band is not so stretchy. So it gets just a little bit full, and then they got to go. And so people have to go to the bathroom every hour, or they can't sit through a movie, and that's a problem. Or they can't hold it long enough, and then they start wetting their pants and things like that. So it can get so bad as that if your prostate is blocking the bladder, that you can't go at all. And this used to be a major cause of people dying because the bladder would get blocked, and then the kidneys would fail. Now, that doesn't happen anymore, thank God. We're able to treat this. But these are easily treatable problems. These are something we see every day, and it's a normal part of aging. But we have many options for treatment of urinating problems, ranging from medicines behavioral modifications, all the way to surgeries. And we are one of the first people in the Chicagoland area to do a very minor procedure, which will soon be done in the office, where we can give you good benefits, good urinating, good results with very few side effects. And so these are things that foreshadowing of things to come.
Phone lines are open if you have a question for Dr. Michael McGuire, head urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. The doctor is going to be setting up a website that we're going to go to shortly, but it's under construction, we'll say, doctor. But you get
right.
You can get a podcast of the show by going to WGN.FM after the show. That is WGN.FM, about an hour after the show. Cancer. That's the one thing that scares the bejesus out of me, doctor, is cancer, okay? Just all over. You know, it's like, and the one thing that freaks me out, and I think when everybody hears it, freaks them out too, is it treatable in the urinary tract? Is it treatable? You know, tell me what advances you guys on the medical side of the world have done in treating cancer.
So I'm 50 years old, so I did my residency 20 years ago. And when I first started, people would get cancer and they'd die in 6 months. And now I see people who live 5 years with metastatic cancer. So it is so amazing to me the advantages, the advances that have occurred in chemotherapy, the medical management of advanced diseases. Surgical management, which is what I usually do, is towards more and more laparoscopic surgery, mm-hmm. tiny holes, healing faster, getting out of the hospital the next day, minimal blood loss, minimal pain. And so from that standpoint, and then we're making so many more ability to diagnose cancer at an earlier, more curable stage. We're going to spend a week just discussing prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is a fascinating disease because if you look
Hang on. Fascinating to you, because
yeah.
But it's scary as hell to the patient that has it. So
let me try and put this in context for you.
Yep.
So if you live long enough,
mm-hmm.
every man's going to get prostate cancer.
Okay.
If you look at all 80-year-old men at autopsy, okay? You take every 80-year-old man, look at their prostate under a microscope after they die, 80% of them will have prostate cancer. But 1 to 2% will have died of prostate cancer. So prostate cancer for many people, in fact, the majority of people, is kind of a situation where you have it, you have no symptoms, and it doesn't impact on your life.
But 8 in 10 get it. How, why, where, what, you know, what's happening?
So cancer is an interesting, just let's talk generic cancer, the whole big concept of what is cancer. Cancer is abnormal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one risk factor for all cancers is age. The older you get, the more likely you are to develop cancer just because your cells have decided to grow abnormally. Okay? And why that is, we don't know. Some cases, we can clearly identify a factor. If you look at lung cancer, if you look at bladder cancer, which I treat, we see that 80% of those are caused by smoking. All right? Something in smoking affects the genetics to make these cells change from normal cells to something that grows without control. All right? But for some cancers, we know that, especially like the prostate cancer that we were talking about, these cancers are out of control, but not much, you know. So they're just a little bit bad, and the analogy we like to use is some of these are kitty cats. Some of them are lions, and there are cancers, prostate cancer, 40,000 men a year die of prostate cancer. But we diagnose 200,000 to 300,000.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Is that because men are typically Neanderthals, and unless their testicles are falling off their body or their prostate is so inflamed they can't go to the bathroom anymore, that they see a doctor? You know, is that just because they're just such hard-headed knuckleheads that they just don't want to see a doctor because they're being manly and they can live with the pain?
Well, in fact, prostate cancer has absolutely no symptoms until it spreads. Mm-hmm. So in many of our diseases, that's what happens. I take care of a lot of kidney cancer. Kidney cancers are, your kidneys are up in your back. They're well hidden in development, in evolution, so that they don't get hurt. Your kidneys are full of blood vessels, so they sit in the back, and they don't have a lot of nerve supply. So I see kidney cancers all the time that are enormous, and the patient never had a symptom ever in their life. Most kidney cancers now are found on, you're getting a CAT scan for something else, and we find it incidentally. So we often, in urology, have no symptoms until things get bad. And that's why we have been working hard to develop better ways to look for things. And that's one of the discussions we need to have is the PSA test. The PSA test is the only way we really have right now to look at prostate cancer. Problem is, it's too good a test. We find prostate cancer in many men who would have died with it, but not from it.
Well, let me ask you a question. What does PSA stand for?
So PSA is called prostate-specific antigen. It is a thing that is in the blood. It is released whenever a cell, a prostate cell, dies. And when this PSA is released into the bloodstream, we can measure it from a blood test. If you have no PSA, if you were born without a congenital absence of this, you are sterile. It is something that liquefies sperm and semen so that you can get somebody pregnant. So it serves a biologic function in the body. But in reality, we found that in men who have a higher PSA, they're more likely to have prostate cancer. Unfortunately, it doesn't differentiate between good prostate cancers and bad prostate cancers. So we use this test to find it. And what has happened is over the last 20 years since it's been developed, we have found that many men were treated and had some really horrible side effects of the treatment who probably never needed the treatment. So we in urology are trying to figure out who's got a cancer that we can watch and you're going to die from something else and this is never going to impact on your body. Or who's got a cancer that this is serious, we got to do something, we got to be as aggressive as possible, and then we have to talk about the options, surgery. How are we going to do the surgery? Are we going to do the radiation? And the surgery has classically been associated with problems of total inability to control the urine or inability to get erections afterwards. So you have to discuss, am I going to make this patient better? Mm-hmm. Are they going to live longer? What's the risk and benefits of each of these approach? And so it's very complex, and this is not, you got appendicitis, you need your appendix out. You got to sit down and talk about it. And that's what we here at the John and Carol Walter Center are trying to specialize in, to make sure that we look at all the options to treat the patient, not the disease.
312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Go to the text line, which is the same number. You could text us if you're too shy to call in at 312-521-8600. You could shoot us a text at 312-521-8600. Now I want to talk about obesity. I went to lunch with somebody from WGN today, and walking down to lunch, it kind of crimped my appetite seeing some of the large people rolling walking around, and I'm overweight, doctor, right? And
yeah, we're all not svelte.
Exactly, we're all not like GQ models, but I would say that I'm fat, but I'm not obese, right? I'm down to 253, by the way, from 273 in the past 3 weeks, losing some weight. But you know, I think the obesity, you're talking maybe 300 pound men and 250 to 300-pound women. Is that what we're talking about, obese, or are there different stages of obesity?
So obesity is very interesting. There are many ways to look at how you should identify somebody as obese. The most common methodology is something called the body mass index, or BMI, which is something a mathematician figured out and was used for insurance actuarial tables. So basically, this guy decided that you divide your height by, your weight by your height, and gives you a number. And the problem with this is it's got nothing to do with are you full of muscle and things like that. So you look at most of the guys in the NBA who are just massive, wonderful physical specimens. They're all obese by this criteria.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's really a poor measurement of obesity. And it's fascinating because one of the things is obesity is several different kinds. The worst kind of obesity, which unfortunately most men have, is central obesity or abdominal obesity. And what they found is that probably the biggest predictor of is your obesity something to worry about or things like that is something as simple as measuring your waist. If your waist is 38 or less, you're probably not obese. If you're over 38, you probably are.
Whoa. 38-inch waist and
yeah.
Above, so I'm obese.
Well, yeah.
Under that model.
Under that model, and that is obese as based on what is the future predict for you.
Wow.
Are you likely to get diabetes? Are you likely to get hypertension? So in your losing weight here, your goal should be to get to a 38-inch waist. All right. Keep working, bud. That's great that you're down to there.
Yeah.
And there are many ways to lose weight. And so how are you losing weight? What diet are you on?
I'm on the Fresh diet. I herniated my L3 disc, as you know, from 2 years ago, my good friend, Dr. McGuire, when I blew out my ruptured my L4 or 5 disc. I went and got surgery and I was a mess, and I said I was going to lose weight and change my lifestyle, and I didn't because I'm not just a typical moron. And I was riding my bike, Doc, about a month ago, and from my lower back about 2 inches above my butt crack to my toes, everything went numb, fell off my bicycle as I was riding it, and I was in massive pain. I did the steroid thing. I called up Gary Shapiro. He got me into an MRI, saw that it was an L3. Dr. Bello gave me a shot of steroids. I relaxed for a week or so. Pain went away. I'm on physical therapy. And I said right then and there, Dr. McGuire, I'm tired of being fat, tired of being out of shape. I've got 3 girls and a wife, and I've worked hard to get what I've got. And it'd be nice at 47 years old to be here for another 30, 40, 50 years to enjoy what I've worked hard to get instead of put me in a box and planting me and let somebody else enjoy it with my wife when she gets remarried and start spending all my money without me. And I said, that's it. So I did the Fresh diet. It's one of those diets that come in a bag every day. I go online and buy and select my meal. And if it's not in the bag, doctor, I don't eat it. I drink 100 ounces of water a day, three liter bottles of water a day. So keep it flushing my system out. I'm peeing every hour and a half. And, I'm down 20 pounds in literally a month. And, I made the decision that this is it. I'm going down to 225 where I was when I got married. And I got tired of being 273.3 pounds. It was ridiculous.
And God bless you. And we all need to make that decision. And, there's 100 different diets out there. And they all come down to how do we control calories.
Yeah.
Your diet should be just like your budget. Okay. If you spend more than you take in, you go in debt. Well, if you eat more than you get rid of during the day, you gain weight. And so what you're doing is controlling how much goes in.
Right.
That's what the entire diet plan is doing. And that's outstanding. And whatever methodology you got to do so that less is going in than it's coming out, because as you work through the day, as you exercise, as you go through the day, you use a lot of calories. The more you use and the less that goes in, you're going to lose weight. It's that simple. We can look at, the Atkins diet, and we can look at all these fancy diets. Well, I want to try this, and I don't want to try that, and I can't eat this food and that food. It's really calories. It's simple. Yeah. It's just like running a budget.
Yep.
And, you know, we guys, you know, I don't know, you know, how many calories are in a steak and things like that. And what I found is very helpful is there's many apps on your phone where you can look and say, how many calories is this? And if I eat this, can I eat anything else? And that's all you got to do. And that's what's really helping people lose weight is to figure out in this kind of knowledge. And that's something that we are, we have dietitians associated with this, and we're working for there.
All right, we got to take a quick break, Doc. At the top of the hour, you're listening to Men's Total Health Show with Dr. McGuire, head urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. Dr. McGuire is broadcasting live right now from the John and Carol Walter Center in Glenview. We're going to take a quick break, Doc, and be back after these messages. Men's Total Health Show. I'm David Hochberg, the host. Dr. Mike McGuire. Taking care of a patient right now on the other line.
Hey there, how are you?
You giving out a little medical advice to a patient?
Helping a patient in the OR. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's all right. It's North Shore University Health Systems head urologist, Dr. Michael McGuire. He's broadcasting right now from the John and Carol Walter Center in Glenview, the brand new facility. It's a beautiful facility. I've been there visiting the doctor a number of different times, not as a patient, but if I do need my penis checked out, Doc, I will definitely come to you to perform the honors. We were talking about obesity. We were talking about total men's health and how it relates to the different parts of your body, the different parts of your lifestyle when it comes to sexual health, when it comes to urinating, when it comes to cancer. And we kind of left off on obesity and the BMI, the body mass indicator. Is that what the
index? Right.
Body mass index. So if you have a 38 inch waist or higher, guess what? You're obese. And I'm obese because I'm pushing 39 and a half right now, Doc, and I'm going to get down to my 36. I've got belts from 2003 that I've looked
at. I'm sure they're good looking, too.
I'm sure they're back in style now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pulling the jeans off the top shelf. I got to throw them in the washing machine to dust off all the dust that's on there. But I found that interesting. Anybody with the 38-inch waist, it gives you more reason to get back into shape and lose that extra girth around your waist.
And as we talk about that, where you store fat, okay, so your body was designed and evolved over time is that you would go out on these long hunts and you would get food and bring it back to your family. So men who were the hunters store fat in their abdomen. It's in the organs there. Women store fat in their hips and in other areas, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
It's what makes them look good.
Right.
But that it's different, and that's why obesity, while it's bad for women, it seems to be worse for men. And it's that central obesity, and that central obesity is also what makes things worse as far as getting high blood pressure, getting diabetes, all the things that you can't get otherwise that have significant impact on your overall health, including your urologic health. Huge impact on sexual health. Now, one of the things that's interesting in our field is the role of testosterone in obesity. As men get older, our testosterones tend to go down. As men get obese, one of the things that fat does is fat in the cells in the fat, it takes testosterone and converts it to estrogen. And when it converts it to estrogen, what happens is then men get breasts, you lose interest in sex, you lose energy, you lose all those kind of things.
Well, hang on right there. I have two of the three. I have breasts, and I've lost energy, but I still like to have sex. So
well, it's interesting because we talk about testosterone and we think about it only in its aspect of sex. Well, you don't need huge levels of testosterone to lose all your aspects of sexual health, but more may be better. And more may provide the other benefits of testosterone. And at our last National Urologic Meeting, there were a lot of presentations are men on testosterone replacement, just men whose testosterones were low were given testosterone, and they were told, when you park further away from where you're walking, where you're going, so you have to walk a little bit. They didn't give them any dietary discussion, anything like that. These guys all lost weight. They lost their abdominal waistband decreased. And so testosterone may help with all these things.
Let me ask you a question. How do you know if you don't have enough testosterone? You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show, hosted by me, David Hochberg, with Dr. McGuire, Michael McGuire, head urologist at North Shore University Health System. If you have a question for Dr. McGuire, 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. You could also send a text to that same number if you're on your cell phone. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. How do you test for testosterone levels, doctor?
So it's a blood test. And there are many different types of testosterone. And so we have been come in and prefer to get it tested first thing in the morning, is that throughout the day your testosterone ebbs and flows. So it goes up, goes down. And as it does this, we recommend getting a testosterone level first thing in the morning. As you age, testosterone tends to have less of these variations, but if you got any teenage boys at home, they're just crazy out of their mind first thing in the morning. That's because of the testosterone's at its peak then. What we see is that it's a blood test, but there's other aspects to this. Testosterone comes in many forms in your body, so we have to get several different forms of that. And then we always worry about it, because one of the things testosterone does is testosterone is the food for prostate cancer. So for years, we've been afraid that giving somebody testosterone made their prostate cancer worse. Now, this has been something people have feared. Good data shows that this doesn't happen.
So what is it about testosterone that the cancer that creates prostate cancer? Why?
It doesn't create prostate cancer, but it is one of the things that the cancer uses to grow. It's a growth product for the cancer. But it turns out that the cancer needs very little testosterone to grow, and more testosterone doesn't usually make it grow more quickly or anything like that. We used to think in urology that men who had prostate cancer, so that if we gave a whole bunch of men testosterone, we'd see a whole bunch more prostate cancer. That's just not what has happened at all. And in fact, we will give testosterone to men with a diagnosis of prostate cancer now, because we found that giving more doesn't necessarily cause any problems.
And is it done in a shot? Is it done in a pill?
So there are multiple ways to give testosterone. There are some pills, but they don't work very well. And the first pills that were used caused a lot of problems with the liver and things like that. So we don't tend to use that. The most common form that is given is a cream you put on once a day. And it works. It's great. It's a little bit messy. And if you've ever watched the news, you see that these creams, it's on TV, it's on every ad, and they always say, stay away from pregnant women, underage people. Is this cream, the testosterone can actually be transferred. So while it works, it's been something that has potential side effects. So it's still the leader in how we give testosterone, but other methods are becoming more popular. There's a patch that you put on. It stays on for a day. A lot of people have problems with the glue associated with the patch. You can get a shot, and the shots are good for a week or two, and then the problem with the shot is you get a really high level the first as soon as you've got it, and then it cuts down, and by the end of the time, you're not at a nice even level. So you have all these peaks and valleys much higher than we should.
What age does the testosterone start to diminish in your professional experience? Is it in the 30s?
At any age. It can occur at any age. Most people who have symptoms are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. We see this all the time in that, but I've had guys in their 20s come in.
Really?
It can, and it can be a symptom of benign brain tumors, so we look for things like that, and so it can be a side effect of a lot of others.
Well, what's the first sign? I don't mean to cut you. I find this fascinating. No. What's the first sign that somebody would be like, you know, hey, I just listened to Dr. McGuire, and he said, you know, this is a sign, and I'm not feeling well. I'm a little sluggish, and you know, is it? Are you tired? Are you irritable? Are you? You have no sex drive. I mean, what are the some of the indicators?
You know,
of low testosterone.
All those things. We have a. I had a patient who said to me, "My couch doesn't call to me anymore," and I'm like, "What do you mean?"
He says
when he's walking out the door,
yeah.
You know, he's got the energy to go do stuff.
Right.
He was having a good relationship with his wife. Everything was fine. But he just has more drive to go do things than he ever did before.
Interesting.
So it is various, and it presents in lots of different ways. And it's not a cure-all. I have a lot of patients who come to me and say, you know, I'm tired. I want testosterone because I hear it on the news. Well, it's not. You don't give testosterone to everybody. And so you got to check to make sure it's low. You got to make sure nothing else is going on. And then the one other aspect of how to give testosterone is we now put in these little pellets. And the pellets sit in for 3 to 4 months, and that's all you got to do. So you come in, it takes me 5 minutes to put these in underneath your skin, and then it's all good. And so these are a lot simpler ways. I had a patient just yesterday and who was telling me, you know, he used to use the cream, but he'd forget or it's messy and he didn't have time to do it. And he's like, this is just the greatest because, you know, he sees me every 4 months. You know, I tune him up. It's like getting his oil changed, and then he goes out and he's doing great.
So he's got time release little pellets in his body. Where do you implant them?
In the skin, near your butt.
Near your butt.
Yeah.
And it doesn't interfere with riding a bike or sitting in a chair. I've never heard of this. So
yeah.
So you've got time release pellets.
Right.
That is it. So what do you? Is it just a small incision that you open up and you a couple of stitches?
It is, yeah, one stitch, and it's the size of a needle. We numb you up. We put it in. We put it out. Throw a stitch. We send you home, and you know it's working, and you're good for the next 4 months.
Wow. Hey, hang on. We got our first text from an 847. Hi, David. Very informative and honest show. Can you ask the doctor about the potential problems of a man might encounter because of too much drinking? There you go.
All right.
Well, hang on. 847. How old are you? Let's start communicating back with our texter. How old are you? 847. And doctor, how does alcohol come into play? We haven't even touched that. Drugs and alcohol. How does that come into play, doctor?
So let's start. First of all, alcohol is one of the most common factors I see in obesity. The amount of calories in alcohol is something that I find many men underestimate. And so, you know, you can watch what you eat, and then if you have several glasses of wine or things like that, that's a lot of calories. So you got to watch from that, because that really contributes to all the other effects that we do this.
See, I'd rather have the chocolate cake, doctor, and leave the beer alone. That's just my personal preference. That's how I got fat. But go ahead.
Yeah,
keep going.
But, you know, I find the other benefits from alcohol. But
exactly,
that, you know,
exactly.
That's just me.
So too much drinking, it could have some major liver problems, I would assume.
Oh, sure. It can cause liver problems. It can cause all kinds of problems with all the other aspects of it. We see lots of people with bladder problems from drinking. Most urologic diseases, things like bladder cancer, is clearly caused by smoking. Mm-hmm. All right, drinking doesn't have too much effect, except that we know that a lot of people smoke when they drink.
Okay.
And so, you know, fortunately, the bars in Chicago, you can't smoke anymore in there, but a lot of people smoke and drink at the same time, and that's been a significant problem associated with that. So it's very much in moderation, a good thing. 1 to 2 glasses of red wine a day is good for your heart, all right, in that it lubricates things. Things work from there. And the American Heart Association actually doesn't disregard that. The down point is you can't take too much is definitely a bad thing. And then it causes all the liver problems and all the other associations with alcoholics. And true alcoholism, to when you drink too much, you get to the aspect they get all your calories from alcohol, and then those people have severe vitamin deficiency and other problems.
So 1 to 2 glasses of red wine. I've read that in magazines. I've heard it, but you are encouraging, in moderation, 2 glasses of red wine a day. Keeps everything lubricated. And why red wine over white wine?
The answer is that red wine has been well studied. It's probably the same, any form of alcohol, mm-hmm. but red wine was the first study and is the most commonly presented. So that's what we know.
Wow. All right, let's get back to testosterone real quick. If phone lines are open, text lines open. Thanks, 847. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. Phone line and text line. You said something about the creams. They're messy. Are they an oily cream? Is it a heavy cream?
It's a cream. You put it on, uh-huh. and you put it on like your shoulders.
Okay.
And you have to wait 5 to 10 minutes to let it dry.
Okay.
And it's not horrible. It's not, you know, certainly lots of people have used them, but if I would say the number one complaint I get about it is it's messy. It's just something that, you know, 5 minutes is forever in this day and age.
Oh, right. That's right. Who's got 5 minutes? Forget about
who's
it.
You're going to sit and do nothing for 5 minutes, make sure you don't touch anything or anybody, to make sure it doesn't get on your clothes or on anything else. So that's the main complaint. Now, I have lots of people who use it and are very happy with it.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let's say a guy puts it on his shoulders, because I'm just assuming that you're administering this to guys and not women, okay?
Yeah.
And the man brushes up against his wife, girlfriend, whatever, and the wife gets some testosterone cream on her. Is there any ill medical impact of that happening?
So a little bit, tiny amounts, probably not. Over time, it can be, and particularly if she's pregnant, it can be really a problem, because testosterone in pregnancy, in the development of baby boys and baby girls, can have significant effects. So you really got to be careful if you're around pregnant women with this stuff.
All right, let's talk about exercise. We only got a couple more minutes here, Dr. McGuire. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show, hosted by me, presented by Dr. Michael McGuire, head urologist at North Shore University's health system. And he is broadcasting right now from the John and Carol Walter Center and at the Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, Illinois. If people want to reach you, doctor, how do they reach you by phone?
847-503-3000.
847-503-3000. I should have given out that phone number more during the show, doctor. I apologize. 847-503-3000. Is that the number?
That's perfect. And I have some fantastic partners who are all have their own aspects of expertise, and you're going to meet a bunch of them over the next 13 weeks. And call us, tell us what your issue is, and we'll make sure you get in to see the right person to help you to get the right care for you individually.
And if they're having problems with their knee, okay, they could still call you and you'll get them to somebody within the North Shore University Health System family.
Absolutely.
Of doctors, correct? So
I've been here for almost 20 years now. I know all the the people who I would take my family to. I, years ago, was on the David Hochberg radio show, and I said that you need a guy. And I've got a guy for my heart patients. I've got a guy for my knee patients. I've got a guy for my mortgage. I don't know. Do you know that guy's name?
Yeah, the guy by the name of David Hochberg does a hell of a job.
There you go. That's my guy. For mortgages. And so you got to have a guy, and maybe a girl.
Maybe a woman.
That's
right.
Term generically. But I've got the right person to help you get better.
Okay. So if anybody, it's not just the urinary problems. If anybody has any problems, has any questions about their health, Dr. McGuire, he's head of urology at North Shore University Health System. But the last time I looked, doctor, North Shore University Health Systems is opening up facilities on the North Shore. That's where I live. I live in Northbrook. You're opening up buildings like Walgreens at every corner. I mean, a Borders go out, 6 months later, brand new North Shore University Health System. Something goes out, boom, another thing. Okay, we're running out of room. We're going to build our own building over here. We're going to go get John and Carol Walter to put their name on a wonderfully beautiful new center that Dr. McGuire has his practice in, as well as 10 or 12 other urologists there. And it's part of a larger North Shore University Health System. So if you have any questions about your health, we're going to be here every Wednesday from 2 to 3. But if you want some more specific information that you don't want to, more specific question, I should say, that you don't want to talk over the phone, give Dr. McGuire a phone call at 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. If Dr. McGuire can't help you, he'll get you in touch with somebody within the North Shore University Health System to help you.
So, and if you're also, you can send me an email at menshealth@wgnradio.com.
menshealth@wgnradio.com, menshealth@wgnradio.com. All the emails are confidential. So if you go into detail, it's not coming to the radio station. Some tech guy, IT guy in the back is not reading your email. It's being sent directly to Dr. McGuire. It's being forwarded directly to Dr. McGuire. Men's Health.
Don't send any pictures.
No.
Don't send your urologic pictures.
Right. Don't take pictures of your penis and send it to the doctor. Take your penis to the doctor so he can look at it in person. If you want more information, 847-503-3000. Dr. McGuire is working on a website here. So, doctor, we've got two more. We've got 2 minutes left. Here's the deal. We're going to be doing the show. The show is for the listeners. If you have a question like 847 did during the show on our text line about alcohol and how it might impact somebody's health, the show's for you. We're going to be here every Wednesday. So bring your questions. And if you don't feel comfortable talking on the air, shoot us a text. You don't feel comfortable texting or talking on the air, send the doctor an email, menshealth@wgnradio.com, menshealth@wgnradio.com. We've got about a minute and a half left, doctor. What's the one tip, the one key ingredient, the one thing that you want to leave all your listeners with until next week?
Don't be afraid. If something's going wrong, odds are I've seen it before. Odds are I can fix it. And there's absolutely no reason to sit at home. The best days of my life are when I sit in a patient's room and somebody comes in and they're scared to death, and I say to them, you know, this is nothing. Don't worry about this. It's not a waste of my time. It's not a waste of your time. It's some of the best days I can have when I can look and see somebody smile and relax, and you can just see all the stress go out of their mind. They're sure they're dying of cancer, and you go, no, you got a kidney stone. It's nothing serious. It's something we can take care of. We'll fix it. But that we have never been better at helping people. We have great opportunities, great facilities. We have the opportunity to make you better. And don't be afraid. Come talk to us. This needs to be discussed. And you and I, David Hochberg's never been afraid to talk about anything in his life. And, you know, this is what I do. So the two of us together, we're going to reach out to you. And if you got questions, talk to us. If you can't talk to anybody else, give us a call.
We're going to change people's lives. And I just want to leave with this. I had a problem with my penis, and I called you up. I had something wrong down there with my plumbing. And I said, Doc, here's what's going on. And I said, because, you know, I've refinanced you 4 times, felt, you know, comfortable, and I only got 10 seconds. And you're like, Dave, it's really no big deal, buddy. Just do this, this, and this, and you'll be fine. And I did this, this, and this, and I was great. So I'm a walking testament to what doctor does. You've been listening to the Men's Total Health Show with Dr. McGuire. We're gonna come back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening, everybody.
WGN.FM. This is WGN.FM, Chicago.